All right, let's open our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in two places of Scripture. We'll be first in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and then we'll flip over to Hebrews chapter number 4 for our text. We'll be first in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and then we'll flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. We have been in a series, of course, on mercy for some time, and we'll be in it, Lord willing, for the foreseeable future as well. And thinking about the message today, of course, there's a lot of things that have transpired between last Sunday and this Sunday. I was scheduled to go to St. Lucia on Monday, and I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning to find out that my flight had been canceled. And I was... Yeah, 3 o'clock in the morning. I hadn't had my coffee yet, okay? If I had been canceled, and so, okay. So that trip got canceled, and then Brother Brian going home to be the Lord on Wednesday, just the Lord working that out, because I would have been stuck in another country, not being able to be here during that time, and all that's transpired. And then starting to think about today, I knew I had a sermon on mercy prepared. I prepared the message before I prepared to leave the country, and so that it would be ready to go, and I did not know what it was going to be, and I couldn't remember what it was. My mind has been in a fog the last few days, as you can understand. Yesterday morning, Cindy texted me, and she said, the text was something like, what is that one song you played for me when we were in Georgia? And I was like, who are you? I don't know what, my mind was just foggy. And I got a little more details when it was this circumstance. And then I remembered, I said, now I remember. And I still didn't remember. And so I'm looking as like, okay, I found it, because she was considering some things for the funeral. And that's just where my mind was. And so I went to the office yesterday and knew it was on mercy, but it might sound odd to you that I couldn't remember what I had prepared to preach. But then I popped open my computer and saw what was prepared today and said, there it is. And I said, I'm not changing a word of it. And today the message is mercy in the middle of struggle. And we're going to look at mercy from that aspect. We're thankful for mercy that saves us, aren't you? Because none of us deserve salvation. None of us deserves forgiveness. But aren't you thankful God's a forgiving God? And this morning, if you sit here, you've never been forgiven of your sins, you've never received Christ as your personal Savior, I've got great news for you. There's a God in heaven who is a holy God, he's a righteous God, but he's a merciful God, and he's made the way of salvation for you. And I trust that the Lord will help us today as we look first at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And both of these passages I've used before in this series on mercy, and we're going to use them again today, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And a look with me at verse number 7. And of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and the Lord has preserved this for you and I today. Verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that there's some things that we don't want that we have to have because God has a purpose with it. And he is saying to him, my grace is sufficient. So whatever you're dealing with today, whatever it is that you're going through, and certainly we don't minimize what life brings us. We know God is greater. But he says, sometimes I'm not going to remove something from your life, or I'm not going to prevent that, because I want you to see that my grace is sufficient. It's going to be just enough. Well, what about tomorrow, Pastor? It'll be enough tomorrow. What about the day after that? It'll be enough then. Or what about way down the road, which I can't see? It's going to be enough there too. He says, my grace is sufficient. Hold your spot there. We'll refer to this passage in just a few moments. But Hebrews chapter number 4 is where we'll get started this morning with the message. Hebrews chapter number 4, and I'm going to read two verses of Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 4, beginning with verse number 15. Hebrews 4, chapter number 15. I'll begin reading, and you catch up with me. Verse 15 of Hebrews 4, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What a wonderful, wonderful thought, promise, reminder. The Lord Jesus Christ is our high priest. And once he shed his blood on Calvary, he took his own blood and took it to the mercy seat and sprinkled it there. And it speaks on our behalf today. That's the blood that covered the sins of man. But we're reminded that he was 100% God and 100% man, meaning he could feel what every man could feel, but yet he handled it and carried it perfectly. But the point of that is we don't have a God who doesn't understand what we're going through. We don't have a God who doesn't understand what it's like to hurt, to have people disappoint them. He went through it all. But that brings us to, because of that, we have the wonderful promise of verse 16. Look at verse 16. Let us therefore, because of what we just said in verse number 15, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning, the message is mercy in the middle of struggle. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you once again today, grateful for your many blessings. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the place called heaven. We thank you for the church this morning. And Father, I pray that you would help your church. I pray that you would strengthen us and help us today if there's one unsaved. May today be their day of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mercy, of course, we know is not getting what we deserve. And we're reminded by his mercy we are saved from sin. How many of you are saved this morning? You know you're on your way to heaven. Meaning that we have had that point in our life when we realize we're a sinner, realize there's nothing we could do about our sin, but realizing and recognizing that Jesus paid that sin debt for us, and we must trust in him for that salvation. We understand that by his mercy we are saved from our sin. Nobody who's ever trusted Christ as their Savior, nobody who's ever been redeemed, forgiven, deserved it. And I'll be the first to say that I don't deserve the salvation I enjoy. I don't deserve the salvation I'm secure in. I'm not good enough for it. And can I just say, if I'm not good enough for it, you're not good enough for it. There's never been a man worthy of salvation. So why do we have it? Because we have a merciful God. We have God who is 100% holy, 100% righteous, but yet he is full and rich in mercy. That's why we're saved. By his mercy, we don't get what we deserve. Often we say, well, they didn't get what they deserve. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? And we don't get what we deserve. Why is that? Because of his mercy. We don't get his mercy. We don't have forgiveness. We're not forgiven because we're good. We're not forgiven because we're Baptist. We're forgiven because of his mercy. There are times and seasons I like to refer to in the Christian life that are much easier to deal with than other times. What do I mean by that? That when God is blessing, it's easy to say, ain't God good? And I don't know how Yankees say that, because the only proper way to say it is, ain't God good? I don't know how English majors say it, but the only way, good way to say it is, ain't God good? It just, you can say, isn't the Lord good? Good, you can say that, and it's true, and I'll say amen to it, but oh, it's more theologically sound when you just say, ain't God good? He's good because he is a good God, and when he's blessing us and we feel good and everything's going just right, it's easy to say, I want to give a testimony. I want to glorify to the goodness of God. We can all testify those times we had a need and we prayed and God answered it right away. It's almost before the prayer could leave our lips that God has presented the answer. He is a good God. We say, oh, God answers prayer. And oh, we let everybody know, as we should. When all those times when our faith feels strong, we just feel that everything is, well, he's like, well, I want to give God the glory for what he's doing. But those aren't the only seasons we live through. there are some seasons that are harder for us to talk about, harder for us to testify about. There's seasons that we struggle with. There's seasons of weakness. There's seasons of temptation. There's seasons of discouragement. This is a good-looking group this morning, and we love the Lord, and we know the joy of the Lord is our strength, but I would dare say that there's probably some in the service this morning, certainly some watching by a live stream. If you're honest, you'd say, I'm just a little bit discouraged today. But there are those seasons. Certainly grief is a season that we struggle with. Sometimes it's unanswered prayer. And let me say, when I say unanswered prayer, that does not mean God has not or will not answer prayer. It's just not answered yet. And sometimes we say, well, why didn't God answer my prayer? And it's like he did. He said no. God answers prayer. We have that promise. Or he says not now. Or often he answers it and we don't recognize the answer because we thought he was going to answer it in a certain way. But there's those times, and let's be honest, it tests our faith. I'm not asking God for something that's not good. I'm not asking God for something I don't need. I'm not asking God for something that does not benefit his cause. And sometimes, and I can't ever recall a testimony time, I just want to share. I've been praying for this for 32 years, and God still hasn't sent the answer, and I want to give glory to his name. You can still do it in that time, but isn't it harder? We don't think of it. We have limitations we wish would go away. One of them is age. I'm speaking for some of y'all, not for myself. Sickness, disease, life circumstances. It's a little bit harder in those seasons of life. It's easy for us to wrestle in those seasons of life with the thought of, where is God's mercy now? I know God is merciful because I'm saved by the grace of God. I know God is merciful because I'm not getting truly what I deserve. I know God is merciful because there's evidence of his mercy, but in this season, in this situation, under these circumstances, I've asked him, I'm doing the best I can, where is his mercy now? And sometimes, because we cannot see it, we cannot feel it, or it's different than when we can say, I prayed this prayer, God answered it. God bless me just out of the blue. I wasn't expecting it. It's different than that, but God's mercy is still just as evident. Because sometimes in those seasons of blessing and fruitfulness and in all of those things, it's an obvious evidence of his mercy. I didn't deserve this, and God gave it to me anyway. I can pray because he says to and he'll answer, not because I deserved it, but because he's a good God. But when you don't have that tangible result, or you're reminded of that limitation, or you know how you feel, or you're reminded of your discouragement or whatever it may be, it's easier to say, where is that mercy? But when we're in those situations, when that burden is still there, that prayer is not yet answered, does that mean God's mercy has been withheld? Does it mean that God's mercy has been stopped? Or perhaps God's mercy is evident in a different way. Might I say, before I get into the truths I want to get to this morning, if you're struggling this morning, God's mercy is not absent in your life. If you're confused about something this morning, it's not because God has withheld his mercy from you. If you're going through something this morning that you never could have imagined, it does not mean all of a sudden you're walking along with a merciful God and he turns and decides to stop being merciful. It is there in ways that is harder for us to recognize. And this morning, I want to give us some truths and some evidence of God's mercy in the middle of struggle. Let me say, number one, struggle is not evidence of God's absence. I remind us of what we read in Hebrews chapter number 4. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I want to remind us that often our mind, our emotions deceive us. Don't raise your hand, but who has ever felt something to the effect or said to themselves something like, well, if I'm struggling in some matter or things aren't going this way, there must be something wrong with my relationship with God. But Scripture does not necessarily back that up. Now, let me say, if you belong to Him and you get away from God, our Heavenly Father is going to do some things to get your attention. But just because you're struggling in some area this morning does not mean your relationship is wrong with God. Might I remind you that Jesus Himself was tempted? Jesus, His flesh was weary. You get tired and you get weary, that I encourage you. Jesus got weary. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was burdened. Yet He was still without sin. See, struggle is not proof that God has left you. Struggle, if I can say it like this, is part of living in a fallen world. Even the Apostle Paul, outside Jesus Christ Himself, the Apostle Paul, in my opinion, is, in my consideration, is the greatest Christian. But even he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. You can sense the struggle of the Apostle Paul. You can sense some frustration. I know what God has called me to do. I know the importance of it. And yet I have this thorn that limits me from doing it. And sometimes Christians, we say, now it's going to be harder for me to do what God has called me to do. This seems like a limitation to serving more in the church, or it seems like it's going to keep me from doing what I need to do in my home. But the Apostle Paul also felt that way. And I prayed and I've asked God multiple times to take that away. Certainly, so it would be easier, but I think in the context of so that I can be uninhibited in serving Him. But yet we read in 2 Corinthians 12 this morning that God did not remove that thorn. That which made it more difficult to serve Him. Think about this. God called the Apostle Paul. God called him out, saved him, set him on a course, basically the gospel to the unknown world. We're reading the epistles to the churches this morning. And God allows something to be in his life that would hinder him from doing the very thing God called him. Hinder him from a human perspective. Because God said, I'm not going to take that away from you because it's going to remind you that you got to depend on me. It's going to remind you that I'm with you. Friend, we got to reprogram our minds or refocus our minds or get a different point of reference in our minds that when we struggle, it's not God's absence, but it's actually a sign of God's presence. Because as long as Paul had the thorn, God says, I'll be right there with you. And when your body fails you, that little bit of strength that you feel, that's me. When you don't think you can go one more day, and then your spirit gets encouraged just enough, that's me. And so if you're struggling this morning, it's not an evidence of the absence of God, it's actually evidence of the presence of God. See, sometimes we interpret that struggle as I'm distanced from God, or God has distanced himself from me. When in reality, it's an opportunity to experience his mercy on a different level. We can all say, to God be the glory for His blessings. God's been merciful to me. But oh, it's in those lonely hours, those dark times, it's those struggles with God. Would you remove this so that I could even do more for you, so that I could be uninhibited in my Christian walk with you? And then when God does not do that, it's not God removing Himself from us, it's God saying, I'm going to be in your presence. Second statement this morning, mercy meets us in our weakness. There's several things we all have in common this morning. One of them being that we all have weakness. There are no super Christians in here. And if you come to me and say, I'm one of those super Christians, well, you just disqualified yourself. There's no perfect people. We are all weak. Now, we ought to be working on our weaknesses. I mean, you don't want to go out and cuss the usher out this morning. Well, that's my weakness. Pastor said we all have weaknesses. No, we could probably control that one. You get the point I'm making this morning. We are flesh. Anything good of us is because of the grace and goodness of God. In 2 Corinthians, where we referenced this morning, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul prayed 3 times for that thorn to be removed, and God answered him in a way that I don't think the Apostle Paul expected. It wasn't yes, and it wasn't no. It was I'm enough. Mercy meets us in our weakness. God did not remove the struggle. He supplied mercy in the middle of the struggle. Mercy does not always mean the burden is lifted. I want Him to take this burden off of me. And there are times when He will remove that burden. But there are probably more times than not that He allows us to keep that burden. And in His mercy, He gives us the grace we need. In His mercy, He gives us the strength that we need. Mercy meets us in our weakness. God gives us endurance instead of removal. God gives us peace instead of giving us answers. See, sometimes we think if I just had an answer, I could have peace. But there are, if we're honest, and I can speak from personal experiences, sometimes the answers causes more uncertainty and less peace than not having the answers. Because He gives us peace. He is peace. If we put it in this context, if you have to choose between difficulties or having God's presence, it's greater to have God's presence. So whatever you're going through this morning, let me just remind you that you're still here. You say, well, I'm not doing well with it. Well, you're still here. And mercy meets us in our weakness. Let me say number 3. Mercy gives us access when we feel inadequate. Look at verse 16 of Hebrews 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I can certainly testify to this, but I think if it's true of me, it's probably true of all people, that sometimes when you struggle, it makes you feel inadequate in your Christian life. I'm struggling, so I'm inadequate in my prayer life. I'm inadequate in my faith. I'm inadequate in my strength. I'm inadequate in my understanding. And the reason why you and I feel that way is because we are. We're inadequate to have the strength to carry things that life throws at us. We're inadequate to have the spiritual fortitude to really endure spiritual warfare. But see, mercy gives us access to God in those times when we feel inadequate. Often we will tell ourselves, well, I should be stronger than this. I shouldn't be feeling this way. Well, are you human? Do you have emotions? Do you have weaknesses? then why shouldn't you feel that way? Well, I should be already over this. I shouldn't be dealing with this. Well, we're fooling ourselves when we say that. Or and this is a good one. Once I get everything in order, then I'll get back to church. Or when I get everything in order and I get my feelings the way they should be, then I'll pray to God. But that's not what the Bible tells us. He says, because we have a high priest who's been touched by our infirmities, and we have access to the throne of God, not through a man, not through a pope, or not through a priest of some denomination, but the perfect Son of God, who is the high priest, who applied his own blood. He's not just God. He knows what it's like to stand before a tomb and weep. He knows what it's like to feel that betrayal. He knows what it's like for his flesh to be weary. He knows what it's like to be tempted. He knows all of those things. So when you in your weakness and you in your despair and you in your struggle, you call on a God, and sometimes it's not an eloquent prayer, and sometimes it's just a groaning to God. There is our high priest in heaven who says, I know what they're talking about. I know how they feel. I know what they're carrying. And Heavenly Father, this is what they need. And Heavenly Father, this is what you should grant them. We come boldly, not because we're strong. That verse is not teaching you kick in the door of heaven and say, I have a right to be here. That's not what it's teaching. It's teaching it's because we're not strong, but because He is merciful. The throne of grace, my friend, is not for everybody who's got it all together. It's not for perfection. It's not for those who in their mind can dot every spiritual I and cross every spiritual T. It's for those of us who are burdened. It's for those who are inadequate. It's for all of us who say, I'm not worthy and I have these great needs. He says, come boldly, not because you deserve it, not because you necessarily have a right to it, but you do have a right to it. He says, come boldly because I'm a merciful God. That means when the struggle is real, when the burden's heavy, when the heart is weary and tired, mercy is not something we have to wait to access after we fix ourselves. It would do us all well. I'm for improvement. I'm for getting good habits. But it'd do us all good as Christians to take all of our self-help books and throw them into garbage and realize we can't help ourselves with the things that we have to burden. But let me tell you who can help me. Let me tell you who can help you. It's when I'm broken down, I'm burdened, and I'm inadequate, I can say, God, would you grant me some mercy? Would you give me some strength? I don't know where I'm going to get it. Would you give me an answer for what I'm seeking? And it's because of His mercy. I think sometimes we have convinced ourselves that we have to check some denominational boxes, or we have to do certain things before we can get that relief from God, get that mercy from God. But we have a high priest who's already taken care of our sins. We have a high priest, and if you're saved this morning, that blood is covering your sins. You have access to God, and it's not just a permission slip. It's the one who went to Calvary for us. It's the one who has experienced all that we have experienced, and he says to his Heavenly Father, I know what they're going through. Number four, mercy sustains us when the struggle remains. There are some struggles that pass quickly. Then there are some struggles that linger. There are some difficulties that it's just a small season. Then there are some things like Paul's thorn, who stayed with Paul for the remainder of his life. Regardless of whether it's a short struggle or a struggle that stays with you, Paul came to a powerful conclusion. He says in our text, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. He was not saying, I like suffering. He was not even saying, thank you, Lord, for suffering. We know he didn't like it. We know he didn't want it because multiple times he went to God. But why would he say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me? Now, let me help us this morning. There is but one Apostle Paul. There is but one who was called to do what he was called to do. There's only one who wrote the apostle, wrote the letters that he wrote in his hand. There was only one who God used to take the gospel to Rome, that he was called to do that. And you might say, well, why would I need the power of Christ? Friend, it takes the power of God. That's exactly what he's saying. I grant my mercy to you, so that the power of Christ can rest upon you, so you can be dad, so you can be mom, so you can be husband, so you can be wife, so you can be that servant. And you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through it. It's the power of Christ that rests upon you, not just for the preacher of the gospel, not just for the Apostle Paul, but so that you can continue to do what it is that God has for you to do. That mercy sustains us when that struggle remains. Might I also say, this is the kind of mercy you only experience in struggle. It's a sustaining mercy. It's a strengthening mercy. It's a daily mercy. I remind us of Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And we're reminded they are new every morning. This morning when I got up and you got up, the mercy of God was waiting on us. I would dare say everybody in this room at some point in their life, when that sun is set, you anticipate the new day and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And we find when we approach that new day and that new day arrives, guess what's brand new all over again? The mercies of God. They're new every morning, not just on a morning of victory, but in a morning of struggle. Not just in a morning of rejoicing, but in a morning of weeping. Every day you wake up and every day you keep going. Can I tell you, that is mercy. Some of us could testify there's been trials and difficulties, and many are going through them today. And you can look back and people say, well, how in the world do they keep going? How in the world do they do that? Let me just tell you, it's not something you go down and you buy at Walmart or your doctor can prescribe. It is the mercy of God. So when you see that, that's a good way for us to say, thank God for His mercy and the mercy that God has bestowed. Every moment you don't give up, that's mercy. Every day that you say, okay, I'm quitting, and the next morning you say, okay, I'll go one more day, that's mercy. Every time I say, well, this is my last Sunday, and the next Sunday comes around, it's like, okay, I'll give it one more shot. That's mercy. Let me give you one more this morning and we'll be done. I like everything that I've said so far because it helps me. It helps you. I really like what I'm about to say in number 5. Mercy will lead you through, not just out. Mercy will lead you through, not just out. We often think God's goal is to get us out of the struggle as quick as possible. I'm reminded of Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. God never said, I'll keep you from the valley. He never said, I'll remove the valley. He said, I'll walk you through it. And oftentimes, and understandably so, we just look at the exit. When am I going to get out of this? When am I going to get out of the depression? When am I going to get out of the suffering? When am I going to get out of the grief? When am I going to get out of the hurting? When am I going to get out of the burden? We accept the fact that God allows things in our life, and for whatever reason, this is His will for us, or whatever reason He wants me to go through that path. And friend, if you get to that place in your heart and your life, that's a great victory just to be able to say, I don't understand it, I don't like it, but I'm going to accept the fact that His ways are above my ways, and His thoughts are above my thoughts, and I'm going to yield to that, and I'm going to submit to that. But oh, I sure want out of this. And if I can illustrate it this way for you, I'll get one of you young men come here. We oftentimes think God says, okay, I'm going to send you through this valley. And there's the exit sign out there. You get through it, and I'll get you out of it. How many of you aren't you thankful God gets you out of the valley? I think sometimes we think, I'll send you through, and I'll meet you on the other side. That's not what God does. He walks you through the valley. So if I can offer you some hope, He's going to get you through the valley. But He's not going to hand you a map and say, I'll see you on the other side. He gives you a map, but then He reads it for you. He says, it's going to wind a little bit, but I'm going to walk with you. And friend, God gets you on the other side. And don't turn to the things of this world. You know, alcohol is not going to get you to the other side. Pills aren't going to get you to the other side. You know, support groups aren't going to get you to the other side. I'm not necessarily against that one. I'm against the other two. But it's not going to get you to the other side. But can I tell you, God will get you to the other side. But He's not just going to say, go through the valley and I'll meet you on the other side. He gets you out of the valley. Don't raise your hand, but anybody ever been depressed and you're not depressed today? God got you out of that. But make no mistake, God got you through it as well. Anybody think your grief was going to take you down? You didn't know how you were going to get it, but you still have that hole. You still have sorrow. You still have hurt. But that grief is not that ball and chain like it used to be. And you can testify, I can, and say, God got me out of that, but God didn't just get me out of it. He got me through it. And there are sometimes you'll look at things and say, well, I don't know where the end of the valley is. When am I not going to feel this way? When is it not going to be heavy? I can't answer that question. But I can tell you, God will see you out of it. And that's wonderful when you haven't gone into it yet. One day I'll get out of it. It's wonderful when you're in it. But oh, I think sometimes what we need to be reminded of, God gets us through it, not just out of it. Whatever you're dealing with this morning, God will get you through it. Thank you. Why will He get you through it? Because He's a merciful God. Because He's a good God. Because that's His mercy meets us. If you think back at the beginning when I said, it's easy to say, look at the blessing I got. God was merciful to me. But friend, the fact that He doesn't leave us in that valley. Sometimes we think, well, God, keep me from this valley. And we ask that question, where's God's mercy? If God was merciful, He wouldn't allow this to come into my life. If God was merciful, He wouldn't keep me burdened down with this. And friend, that's the wrong approach to take, because we don't know what God's trying to do. We don't know what we need. God is merciful, the fact that He never leaves us while we're going through it. Have you ever wondered, where is God's mercy? But you're still in the battle. You're still in the fight. You're still moving forward. So I'm not doing it very well. The fact that we're doing it at all is the mercy of God. You're still holding on. Let me pop some bubbles this morning. It's not because you're as strong as you think you are. It's because God is merciful. He's lifting you up. Not only is His mercy not left you, mercy is carrying you, remind you of the scripture, Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the day of my life. Our God is so great, our God is so big, our God is so loving, so merciful, that He dispatches His mercy and says, go wherever they go. There's some in the valley of the shadow of death today. God's dispatched that mercy. There's some, it'll be in the future. And God's dispatched His mercy. I wish that none of us had to go through that. But God knows why. God knows. And part of it, friend, is just because we live in a fallen world. But He'll not just get you out. He'll get you through. So wherever you are, say, Pastor, I don't know how far I am in this valley. It's too dark. There's too many twists and turns. And let me remind you that passage of Scripture says the shadow. You can't have a shadow without a light. And the reason why there's a shadow is because the light has never left you. There's still a light there. And that mercy is still with you. This morning, we go to the invitation, and let me just remind us all. This invitation to spend some time in prayer, this invitation to come to Christ, you don't have to pretend everything's okay. You don't have to fix yourself before coming back to God. Friend, this morning, if you're confused, if you're burdened, you're overwhelmed, you don't have to have all the answers. You just need to come. How should I come, Pastor? Come boldly. Come sincerely. Come in your struggle. God's mercy is present in struggle. Father, I pray that You would use Your word today.